Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update Podcast for March 22nd, 2024. I am your host, John Lothian. This podcast is brought to you by John Lothian News, the home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. Thank you for joining us. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. I did my math wrong when looking at the margins for Bitcoin futures. Brett Harrison wrote on Twitter that the CME was charging more than 100% margin for Bitcoin futures. There may be some brokers that are charging that much, though I don't know of any. When I looked at the CME Bitcoin margins page, I saw Bitcoin futures maintenance rates listed for about $80,000. What I forgot is that this is a 5 Bitcoin contract, meaning that the $80,000 needs to be divided by 5. Thus, the CME is charging about $16,000, or just under 25% per Bitcoin, according to my new math, which I really hope is not wrong. Now that CoinDesk has let the cat out of the bag about the SEC demanding information from companies about dealings with the Ethereum Foundation, the SEC seems to be trying to head off FINRA-registered special-purpose broker-dealer Prometheum's declaring ETH a security. You can't unring that bell once it's rung or close the barn door after the horse has bolted. The potential declaration, which would cause a ruckus with the CFTC, which defines ETH as a commodity, would leave the SEC trying to repair the damage, trying to put the genie back in the bottle. Once ETH is declared a security, there will be no putting Humpty Dumpty back together again. Meanwhile, Fortune reported the SEC tries to put the Ethereum toothpaste back in the tube. I will not be out cliched. Hedging is important no matter how you do it. There is the right way to hedge, the kind the IRS approves of, and then there is the Texas hedge, which is when you are, say, a cattle rancher, and instead of selling futures contracts to lock in profits on your herd of cattle, you buy futures so you can have more upside potential as prices rise. Then there is the good old-fashioned diversification hedge of not putting all your eggs in one basket. The Newhouse publishing family today is celebrating its use of the diversification hedge, basking in a 5,800% Reddit gain on a 2006 $10 million investment in the new media company, Bloomberg reported. Luckily, it's $2.1 billion Reddit stake does a lot to soothe some of the wounds inflicted by the rest of Newhouse's media investments and operations. Canada's SPX-TSX Composite Index hit a new all-time high Thursday, driven by gains in bank stocks, rising commodity prices, and the tech sector's rally, marking its first record close since 2022, Bloomberg reported. Forget about Born Tech's Derek Hayworth's 3 takeaways from FIA Boca, even though it was our number one read story in JLN yesterday. Will Ackworth of the FIA is doing him 4 better with a commentary titled Commentary, 7 Takeaways from FIA Boca 2024. The FIA Market Voice published its People News, February-March 2024, with the subheadline, Appointments, Promotions, and Other People News in the Derivatives Industry, that included this nugget. Additionally, Keith Todd will relinquish his role as Executive Chairman of KRM22 while remaining as Executive Director of the company. Gary Jones, Non-Executive Director, will succeed Todd as Non-Executive Chairman. Yesterday's unexpected move by the Swiss National Bank took markets by surprise, cutting interest rates from 1.75% to 1.5%, marking its position as the first G10 country to implement a rate cut. This significant policy decision led to Record trading for ICE's three-month sarin futures, which witnessed a record-setting volume of 114,000 lots traded. This volume surpassed the previous record high of 89,500 lots set on September 21, 2023. After the publication of JLN today, we will be publishing the second video from our FIA poker coverage, our interview with new FIA Hall of Fame inductee Deanna Dow of Capital Counsel LLC. Also, we will be publishing a podcast interview conducted by JLN intern Joanna Clohessy, who worked for us for a week in January and is one of my former scouts. She interviewed me about my career and being inducted into the FIA Hall of Fame. Worldwide volume of exchange-traded derivatives reached 16.28 billion contracts in February, the second highest level ever recorded, according to the FIA's February 2024 volume and open interest report. This was down 2.7% from the record month of January 2024, but up 92.4% from February 2023. Options continue to gain in popularity. Global trading of options reached 14.19 billion contracts in February, up by more than 126% from last year. Global trading of futures reached 2.09 billion contracts in February, down 4.5% from the same month last year. On a year-to-date basis, volume in the first 2 months of the year was 33.07 billion contracts, up 94.8% from the first 2 months of 2023. Total options volume for the year so far was 28.68 billion contracts, up 127.3% from the previous year. Total futures volume was 4.39 billion contracts in 2023 so far, up 0.8% from 2022. Total open interest at the end of February was 1.29 billion contracts. February's data on futures and options trading is accessible in either a spreadsheet, accessible through a link, or a set of interactive visualizations called the FIA ETD Tracker. You can access both on the FIA website with a link in today's newsletter. A Cboe press release says Cboe Global Markets will announce its financial results for the first quarter of 2024 before the market opens on Friday, May 3rd, 2024. A conference call with the remarks by the company's senior management will begin at 7:30 a.m. Central Time. Our most read stories from our previous edition of JLN Options were: Coinbase Derivatives plans to launch futures trading on Dogecoin in letter to CFTC from Yahoo Finance. Should investors buy Bitcoin ETFs? Financial advisors weigh in from Barron's. And the value of investing in yourself from Cboe. Subscribe to the free JLN Options newsletter with a link in today's JLN. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's a sponsored content contribution from our friends at FTSE Russell. Webinar with Grayscale, Bitcoin, the foundation of cryptocurrency sector. Register today. You are cordially invited to an exclusive webinar where we will analyze the position of Bitcoin within the cryptocurrency sector. Join us as we explore why Bitcoin has become the foundation of the sector, a peerless force with its unmatched resilience, adoption, and innovation. In this webinar, you'll have the opportunity to deep dive into the FTSE Grayscale Currencies Crypto Sector Index, learn about the investment case for the currency sector, explore avenues for growth in the sector, Bitcoin-based, Bitcoin-adjacent, and other. Understand how crypto sectors can be used as a management tool to assess risk. For further information and to register, please visit a link in today's newsletter. Here's a story from Bloomberg. The headline: Pump and dumps are legal now. Traditional property interest, Reddit IPO pricing, and carbon engineering, from Matt Levine. Nothing is securities fraud. The simplest form of fraud is that you lie to someone and they give you money, Perhaps you give them something in exchange for the money, but you lie about its attributes. They pay you for magic beans, but the beans are not magic. Or perhaps you lie about giving them something and giving them nothing. They pay you for the Brooklyn Bridge, but you do not give them the Brooklyn Bridge. Fraud is often illegal, though exactly how it's illegal will depend on how you do the fraud and to whom and what you are lying about. My comment. If the games are on, I'm going to need a bigger hammer for the moles that I'm going to have to whack. Here's another story, this one also from Bloomberg. The headline: Rich coffee hobbyists spend $420 million in quest for good shot. Expensive equipment won't guarantee the perfect home-brewed espresso, but it will get you close. On a chilly February afternoon, I stood at my kitchen counter packing precisely measured ground coffee into a $3,000 Lelit Bianca, hoping to master the art and science of making impeccable little cups of espresso. I had started with an Italian roast because extracting coffee's tastiest elements is said to be easier with dark roasted beans. But if you don't do it right, the brew can be pretty harsh. Now, 6 weeks after my first brand new home espresso making machine arrived, and frustrated by the slow learning curve from making just a cup or two a day, I was pouring shot after shot down the drain. My comment. My brother Scott is a coffee snob. He's also a beer snob. But when I go to his house and he asks me if I want a cup of coffee, it is always, "What kind?" I feel like I must have flown into Europe and been forced to order a Coffee Americana. It is the closest thing I can get for him to make a cup of black coffee. I like my coffee hot, black, and rich. Here's another story, this one from Crane Chicago Business. Chicago's average weekly return-to-office occupancy climbs above 56%. Chicago's office occupancy grew by less than 1 percentage point last week to 56.4%. The city's stats are still ahead of the nationwide average, now by 5.8 percentage point. That's according to data from real estate technology firm Castle Systems, which analyzes building security card swipes and compares current figures to early 2020. Friday, March 8th, had the lowest average occupancy across Castle's 10 largest cities. Meanwhile, Tuesday, March 12th, had the highest. Chicago office occupancy fell to 30.3% on Friday, but managed to hit 70.5% Tuesday. My comment. I return to my office every day. It's just that my office is now in my house. I'm not sure that is going to change. Here are the top three stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top story Thursday was three takeaways from FIA Boca 2024. The challenges of growth and need for resilience are top concerns from Born Tech. Second was Bitcoin halving event now just a month away, expected to occur on 420 from the block. Third was six hosts WFE Clear 2024 in Madrid with representatives from more than 44 exchanges from six. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, DOJ uncovering more misconduct through self-disclosure program, says top official. After tweaks to a leniency program, prosecutors are getting more tips in areas such as securities and healthcare fraud. More companies are choosing to voluntarily disclose misconduct to prosecutors after a policy revision last year that increased the potential benefits of doing so, a top Justice Department official said. The Justice Department also has started to receive disclosures on a wider range of potential criminal activity than previously reported, including securities and healthcare fraud. Acting Assistant Attorney General Nicole Argentaria said Thursday. In some cases, the Justice Department has rewarded companies that voluntarily confess to wrongdoing by agreeing not to prosecute them, what prosecutors call a declination. Here's another story, this one from the Financial Times. The headline, U.S. urged Ukraine to halt strikes on Russian oil refineries. Washington told Kiev that drone attacks risk driving up crude oil prices and provoking retaliation. The U.S. has urged Ukraine to halt attacks on Russia's energy infrastructure, warning that the drone strikes risk driving up global oil prices and provoking retaliation, according to three people familiar with the discussions. The repeated warnings from Washington were delivered to senior officials at Ukraine's State Security Service, the SBU, and its Military Intelligence Directorate, known as the GUR, the people told the Financial Times. And then here's one more story, this one from The Trade. The headline, head of trading to take the reins at SIX Swiss Exchange as chief departs. Departing chief executive officer originally joined SIX in 2009 as part of a joint venture with Deutsche. Head of SIX Swiss Exchange, Christian Royce, has marked his last day at the trading venue as he moves on to pastures new. Royce has been with the trading venue for just over 15 years, originally joining in 2009 as chief executive of a joint venture named Scotch in partnership with Deutsche Börse. We're grateful for your attentive listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please spread the word about our podcast among your friends. We would greatly appreciate it if you could spare a moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or whatever platform on which you access this podcast. Your reviews play a crucial role in introducing our content to new listeners. Also, if you haven't subscribed to the daily John Lothian newsletter email yet, you can enjoy a complimentary 90-day trial by visiting johnlothiannews.com/trial. Thank you for your valued support. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian. ¶¶